What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Fenway Rundown Podcast. This is Mass Live's Red Sox Show, and I'm the host, Chris Cotillo, coming to you live from a Tampa hotel room. We're joined by Chris Smith, my co-beat writer, who's also here in Tampa in advance of the ALDS between the Red Sox and the Rays. A lot of coverage coming out, obviously, over the next few days, as we've had all week, and what has been a really crazy week for the Red Sox, really crazy week for everybody on the beat. But before game one tonight, we wanted to just kind of do a brief pod and talk about kind of the keys to the series, our thoughts on the roster, all that type of stuff. So, Chris, let's get right into it. The roster came out this morning. JD Martinez is on it, which means that his ankle is apparently feeling good enough to play. That doesn't mean he's going to be in the lineup tonight necessarily, but, I mean, it's a good sign that he's obviously going to play during this series after missing Tuesday night. And obviously the big news, Matt Barnes is left off for the roster. He is not going to be active for the Red Sox in this best of five. Jaron Duran's off the roster. Danny Santana, for some reason, is on it. What were your big takeaways from when they announced it this morning?
Matt Barnes obviously is the big takeaway. And I tweeted out a couple of weeks before the playoffs began, like, you know, he's on the verge of not making the postseason roster. This is unbelievable that a guy who, you know, was so dominant, you know, an all-star, you know, closer the first half of the year, gets an extension, and now he's just completely irrelevant in the bullpen. It's just an unbelievable story. So, yeah, that was my biggest takeaway. What was yours?
Yeah, that to me too. I mean, I wrote this, and when I posted what the roster was, I mean, 2.30 ERA and 23 saves through the end of July, coming off first All-Star appearance. He was like, you know, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, bright spot of the first half of the Red Sox. Signs that extension, and then in August and September, 11 2/3 innings, 9.26 ERA, misses time with COVID, velocity's down, just a complete train wreck. And, you know, you look at some of the names that are trusted over him. I mean, Brazier, Austin Davis, Hauk Ottavino, Martin Perez, Garrett Richards, Hansel Robles, you know, Josh Taylor, Garrett Whitlock are the guys are going to carry in their bullpen. A guy like Brazier, or, you know, a guy like Richards, or a guy like Robles being trusted over Barnes for a postseason roster, all that would have been unthinkable really at any point during the summer, but it's the reality of what Alex Bora faces now. You know, the other thing was, you know, I think JD Martinez was probably about 50-50 to be on this roster at all. So I think that's a very good sign for the Red Sox, obviously. And a couple other changes from, you know, the other night. Connor Wong, Jonathan Araúz were left off. Martin Perez makes the team, probably just as a mop-up guy if there's a blowout in one of these games. But, you know, not many shocks beyond the Barnes thing. Is there any reason in your mind why Danny Santana is on and Jaron Duran is not?
That's a good question. That's a legit question, because Jaron Duran can, you know, pinch run probably better than anybody. And so, I mean, he's got such good speed, you know.
I guess Santana covers you positionally a little bit more.
Yeah. That's one reason. So, yeah, it's, you know, and as Perez, that's not a surprise, as you said, because, you know, he could play a Tim Wakefield role in, was it, game three of the ALCS. So I think people were a little surprised on that one on Twitter.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, people were shocked by that and a little bit by Santana and a couple of the other names. In your mind, you know, what are the keys to the series for the Red Sox? I mean, is it as simple as, you know, good starting pitching performances, starting with Eduardo Rodriguez tonight? I mean, that's what I think it is. But in your mind, what is it?
Yeah, I think it's getting to their starting pitchers too early, because their bullpen's so good. The they can obviously match up well throughout a game. And if you're trailing early, or if you're trailing mid game, it's difficult to overcome, you know, a deficit against the Rays. And so, and that goes hand in hand with starting pitching, you know, like the Reds, you know, last time I was here, one of the writers for the Rays told me that, you know, they do have some difficulty against left-handed starters. You have two left-handers, even though their OPS is decent against, I think they're ninth in, they were ninth in the regular season in OPS against left-handers, but they do have some trouble with left-handed starters. So you got two lefties going right away.
Yep.
Then you have Eovaldi, and you can even put, you know, Nick Pivetta in there. I think Nick Pivetta is probably going to be more of a, you know, a high leverage reliever role. And he had so much success against, you know, the Rays this year. It was like his first two starts, he only gave up like a couple hits against them. So, yeah, I think that the important thing is just, you know, getting to their starters and your starters. It's pretty basic. And your starters, you know, pitching like they're capable of.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's an interesting situation that the Rays are in. They have two ultra talented young pitchers going in these first two games of the series. Tonight we'll see lefty Shane McClanahan. The Red Sox, you know, struggle against lefties. McClanahan, a rookie this year, this is only his 26th major league start. And tomorrow, Shane Boz, he's only pitching in his fourth major league start, a guy the Red Sox haven't seen before. You know, these guys are young, like I said, super, super talented. But to me, there's a little bit of – that's a little bit scary to have rookies, you know, in their first postseason start. And with the Red Sox, you have, you know, Valdi's obviously been there before. Sale has been there before. Eduardo Rodriguez has been there before. And I think that could help, especially on the road to start.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's crazy that their game one starter, they won over 100 games, and their game one starter is a guy, you know, wasn't even on the opening day roster for them, didn't even
pitch for them.
What's that? Yeah, it didn't even, like, you know, didn't even pitch for them most of April. And obviously, as you said, their game two starters only started four games. And so
Boz made his debut September 20th.
You know, I think the experience helps, but, you know, they also need to pitch this, you know, lineup carefully. Lowe is obviously he's teared up the Red Sox. Brandon Lowe. Is it Lowe?
There's Lowe's and Lowe's all up and down the roster.
Whatever. So anyway, Wander Franco has really just torn up the Red Sox this year in his rookie year here. So, you know, they have a better – it's funny. It's a weird Tampa team. If this Tampa team had the type of offense that they have this year, last year, they might have beaten the Dodgers in the World Series. Yep. They're usually – like, you look at the Rays, and it's all pitching. And this year, their hitting, you could say, is better than their pitching. So it's a different Rays team, and we shall see. They've got to be careful with a couple guys in that lineup.
What do you think – and I know that – You weren't here in 2013 when they played them in the playoffs, right? That was before.
That's what I'm looking forward to. I didn't experience that in 2013. I wasn't here, and so that's something that's going to be interesting, because I remember, like, you know, the 2008 playoffs. You know, the first game that they played in the ALDS, even before they played the Red Sox in the ALCS that year. I mean, it was like, wait a minute, this isn't the same place.
Yeah, where did all these people come from?
You know, watching it on TV, the thunder sticks, the cowbells. And so,
exciting to write through tonight.
I'm actually very excited to see and I heard that they're expecting 35,000, which is, is a good number. They're opening up the top seats, and they're expecting 35,000. So it's going to be, you don't get many opportunities to see the Tropicana Field wild, and we're finally going to get to see that. So that's actually one part that I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, I remember, it was the last time I was here. The only Sox series I've ever covered here was the last road trip in 19, and the Rays were like really good, and there was still nobody in the seats. So it'll be interesting to see. And obviously, you know, Sunday afternoon at Fenway is going to be rocking. There's a push to get Monday's game four if they need it at 11 a.m. on the revised Marathon Monday. I don't think the rights holders are going to go for it, but that would be pretty cool.
They're trying to get you've heard this? They're trying to get an 11 a.m. game?
I mean, I don't think the Red Sox are trying to do it. I've seen people on Twitter saying it would be a good idea, which it would be. It would be cool.
Yeah, I don't know. Playoff game.
It's
not probably going to happen. But anyway, yeah, I mean, the times that I've been here at Tropicana Field, you know, I think that race fans get a little bit of a, you know, a stereotyped, you know, it's very difficult to get over here with the bridge and everything and traffic.
Yeah. Their TV ratings are usually unbelievable.
Their TV ratings are. So like when I come here, I see race fans, they're loyal fans. I mean, they're loyal fans, but, so they probably get, you know, it's, you know, but yeah, I mean, there's reasons for it. And if they had the ballpark in a better spot, they probably draw more fans.
Right. And, you know, obviously it's a hotbed of baseball with, you know, high school and colleges, and there's a ton of great players that come from around here. So it's a baseball area. We'll wrap up with this because I don't want to go too long today with a lot of pregame stuff to do, but give me your prediction, who wins and how many games and why.
Yeah, I think the Rays win in 4 or 5. You know, I'm beginning to think that the Red Sox have a chance, more than I thought, like, you know, entering this whole, like, even entering the wild card game. You know, I feel like the Red Sox offense was just dead the last 2 weeks of the season. They didn't play, you know, they weren't as good in high leverage situations, obviously, this whole second half as they were, you know, in the first half, and that stuff evens out. Yep. So, you know, they're not a team that's like, you know, is Sal described as the sandpaper Red Sox, the guys you expect to come back. However, you know, I mean, the playoffs is a different thing. Maybe this is a different season for them. Maybe they, you know, from the second half, maybe they, you know, get going with a couple of good pitching performances. They gain some confidence here. Obviously they looked a lot more sharp in that wild card game than they had for like the final 2 weeks of the regular season. It was right. Like a completely different team. They
did sweep the Nationals too. People forget that.
They had a lot of trouble sweeping the Nationals.
They did it.
Yes. And so we'll see. I mean, you know, I, right now before the series starts, you know, I could change my mind tonight if Erod goes out there and pitches a good game and we see, you know, like get Chris Sale and, as I said, you know, Valdi and Nick Pivetta and different guys have had some success here. I mean, look, at Erod's had some success, a lot of success at Tropicana Field, and so has Chris Sale. So you got the right, you know.
That almost threw a no-hitter here.
Yeah, so you've got, you know, pitchers that can do it. And, you know, maybe Pivetta fills out like a role like, you know, I'm not going to say he's going to be the Evaldi of 2018, but
yeah.
a similar role, like that Rover role that, you know, he can go one or two innings, not six innings, like, you know, maybe he does, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, we needed a 7.5 hour game over. That'd be great. My official prediction: Red Sox in 4. I think they got momentum on their side. And you look at it this way, and someone on the radio, I think Tony Mazz said this yesterday, so I'll give him credit for it. But you split here, you go into Fenway with Evaldi on the mound. I think you probably have a good chance of winning that game. You go up 2-1, and you get two chances to win it: one at home at 11 o'clock on Monday, of course. And, you know, I don't know. I just feel like they have a chance, and that means we're going to Houston or Chicago. So we'll see. It's obviously a tough opponent, you know, 100-win team. It's kind of a homer take, which I don't usually do, but that's just how I feel. But you know what? I'm hot because Monday and Tuesday I was saying this team is going to come out and they're going to kind of like easily win the wild card game. And I said Evaldi's going to shove, and they're going to – it's not going to be close. It was the most lopsided 6-2 game ever. It felt like a much bigger blowout than it was. But so I'm hot right now. I'm going to keep the hot streak rolling with that Red Sox 4 prediction. That's Chris Smith. I'm Chris Cotillo. We have the two of us in our columnist, Matt Vautour from Mass Live here in Tampa in the St. Pete area. And we'll all be covering this whole series. So check out all the coverage on the site.